Hey, and welcome back. Sorry, I took a little time off. I did say, however, that I was only planning on doing 1 to 2 episodes a month, and technically this will be one episode in the month of March, but I actually had to clean out my office because I'm having another little one stay there part-time, and then I had computer issues. And then I went on my vacation that I was telling you guys about to the Crescent Hotel in beautiful Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And that's going to be the subject of today's episode. And my God, if you've never been there, go. It's really great. I would definitely go in the springtime or summer because it's a lot of walking. Maybe the spring or fall. Probably not winter because it'll be cold, but It is such a cute little town, and it has an insanely rich history. Not just the Crescent. I think there's a hotel called the Basin, but what a wonderful town. I would highly recommend it. It's a weird, quirky little town, and if you're into all that stuff, 100% go. But let's go ahead and dive into the Crescent. So the Crescent was designed in 1888, and it was designed to be like a luxury grand hotel. And it was, for the time, I believe it was like one of the nicest hotels in the country. And that will kind of bring us to our first haunting. And so the Eureka Springs Crescent Hotel, they claim to be America's most haunted hotel. It's definitely haunted, and I'll tell you about my experiences while I was there, but I think they just own the trademark for it. They're not necessarily like the most haunted hotel in America, but they're for sure haunted. But the first haunting I'm going to talk about, which I didn't experience this fella, but it's in room 218. So when they were building the hotel, I guess they used a lot of Irish masons. And while one of them was doing the stonework, this is at least what the guide told me that did our tour. And by the way, if you stay at the Crescent, for sure do the haunted tour of the hotel. The lady that did it for me, I believe her name was Jinx. I'm super bad with names, so I'm pretty positive it was Jinx. And she did a wonderful job. It was about an hour long. Wonderful, wonderful tour. I really enjoyed myself. But his name was Michael, and apparently he was hitting on some ladies, trying to impress on them, and lost his footing, fell, and he died in what is now room 218. So apparently room 18 and the adjoining rooms to it are kind of haunted by Michael, and I guess he's got like a thing for the ladies. He'll fondle them a little bit sometimes. When they used to have shower curtains, the shower curtains would just come open on their own. And I guess if you're like there with your husband, he likes to push men out of their beds. And I guess she said she had that happen to some people that were staying there recently. None of that happened to me, but I stayed on the third floor, which we'll kind of get to here in a second. So after it was initially a hotel, it shut down, but then in 1908, it got bought and it became a college for women. And during this time, it's said that a young girl either committed suicide or was pushed to her death. And so this was on the third floor that this apparently happened. And apparently, if she shows herself, it happens always around 10:30. So I believe they said it happens at 318. The room was 318. But so the balconies all connected. I stayed in room 316, but I got a cool video of the SLS camera. And if you don't know what that is, it's kind of, it maps out stuff that's not necessarily there, but I got a cool video of what mapped out a stick figure. It looks like it's pushing someone off the balcony just over and over again, and then it just disappeared, and I Tried it the next day, nothing. And the next day after that, the last day I was there, nothing. Just that one time around 10:30, I got the SLS video of what looked like something being pushed off the balcony. And the story or theory is, I guess, that it was a women's college. This was 1908. And they assume that it was probably a girl that got pregnant. And most of the girls that went there were from well-to-do families. And either she committed suicide because it was shame to her family to be pregnant out of wedlock, or some dude pushed her. But I guess she said a couple years ago that some officer was sitting within view of the Crescent Hotel, I guess just waiting for a call to come in, and he saw a girl jump off the third floor balcony, and he called in a jumper at the Crescent Hotel, and they said they had police, fire, EMTs, everything show up, and when they got there, they couldn't find any evidence of a body, but the officer swore he saw it. But I guess other people have seen it like that. I didn't actually see any girl jump off, but I did get a cool SLS video. And then also, while we were out of the room, when we came back in, our doors to our balcony had opened themselves. And it's like a big metal stake that goes into the wood of the door, because it's an old ass built, 1885, right? It's a super old building, but it's a wooden stake it's a metal stake that goes into the wood. And there's also a metal chain that locks the door. And something opened both of those and opened our door up. And I mean, in that room I stayed in was definitely, it gave me the heebie-jeebies the whole freaking time I was there. And I'll get a little more into that later. But, after the girls' school, I believe it became like a college, and then it was like a summer hotel for a little while. But then in 1937, and this is where it gets interesting, and this is where the most of the haunting comes from, they believe. In 1937, a man named Norman Baker bought the hotel. And so Baker was just, he was just a con man. He planned to turn it into like a radio station, pharmacy, sanitarium, and he promised the Chamber of Commerce at the time that he'd run like a national ad campaign for his new hospital, and it would bring in like a super steady a stream of visitors and money. And this was like during the Great Depression, and Eureka Springs is very heavily reliant on tourism, and there was little to no tourism during the Great Depression, so everybody was super in on the idea. And he got the hotel for a pretty good deal. I don't remember how much, but he got it for a good deal at the time. And then so he renovates the hotel. He does painting all like carnival colors, because he was like a vaudevillian act, and he did all the sideshows and shit. He was like a mentalist and shit. And he also thought that one way people could cure themselves was, I guess I didn't get that. He turns the Crescent into a cancer cure center, which we'll get into in a second. But one of his cures was he thought people could just will themselves to be better. So he did like carnival colors and like happy shit. Like one of the therapies was just, they would like go set out in the sun, you know? So, like, the whole history of Eureka Springs was was a Native American land. There was a healing spring there. Then, like, 100 years later, a doctor finds it, becomes the town. But anyway, he's also spreading around in his ads that, you know, come to Eureka Springs. We got the healing waters and all this shit. So then people start coming to his cancer center. And Norman Baker is not a doctor, and he has people there that aren't doctors either, but he has people sign these contracts, and the people coming there are sick, and they're just looking for any kind of hope, and most of them are just, they'll just sign the contract, and they don't read it. He's like, oh, we'll fill all this out later, and, you know, you pay half now, half later. I think they have to pay like $1,500. That's $1,500 in 1937, which I don't know, for adjustment, how much that would be, but it's a fuck ton. But then he would, he'd also have their people that would pretend to be doctors. And so, like, everyone that went there didn't necessarily have cancer, but someone might come in with, like, a tummy ache, and they would say, all right, well, let's get you checked out. And the fake doctors would be like, oh, yep, that's cancer. And so even if it was like a tummy ache, he would say that's cancer. He would treat them. And those people would actually get better. And he'd be like, I cured you of cancer. But the people that actually did have cancer, he would, he had cures. Like I said, he thought people could will themselves to be better, like sunshine, happy colors and shit. And he also did injections of formula number 5, which... I looked up the ingredients. They told me at the hotel, but I don't remember. I looked it up. It's a alcohol, glycerin, carbolic acid, ground watermelon seeds, corn silk, and clover leaves. And it was administered by injection up to 7 times a day. And I guess he stole the recipe from another con man. But it doesn't do anything, and it has acid in it. So after a while... people would start to get worse and worse and worse. And he turned the third floor, which is the floor I stayed on, into the pain ward. And the patients that weren't getting better were sent up there. Essentially, it was soundproof to die. And then like 1 or 2 in the morning, he would have them wheel the bodies down to the morgue after they passed. And then, so when they're down in the morgue, he would like cut all their tumors and everything out. And then he would have a flatbed truck roll up. They would load all the bodies. They would drive it down to the crematorium. They would cremate everyone. And then they'd spread the ashes in the catacombs beneath the town of Eureka Springs. And he, you know, he had a lot of people paid off. It was the Great Depression. They needed the money. But, and there was no way to really link him to anything because people were signing contracts, and when they leave him blank, he would send letters to family members saying like, hey, I'm getting better, but I just need like another like 1500, blah, 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 blah. And he just conned people, and he kept conning people out of money even after they were dead. So he never got in trouble for that. But in 1940, he finally got arrested for mail fraud. And I think he spent 4 years in prison. Then he got out, moved to Florida, and then like 5 years later, ironically, dies of cancer. Now, they don't know exactly how many people died at the Crescent due to him, but they can confirm that at least 44 patients died while he had his cancer hospital there during just 20 months. It's suspected to be a lot more than that, but they can only confirm 44 patients died. So when I was there, we kept talking. We had like a spirit box thing, and we kept talking over and over again to a woman named Pamela, which they never did say anything about, but I guess there's all kinds of spirits in there. But I guess sometimes people say they see a woman with like part of a missing jaw sitting at the end of the bed. I never did see anything, but people have claimed to see a woman like that. There's a little boy people claim to see, and I never talked to him, but we did talk to another little boy named George, which other people have claimed to talk to. And I think, and we may have made a bad call. We talked to him through a Ouija board. And the first day we talked to him, it was pretty lighthearted and fun. But then, and I'm getting like chills right now. No, the second day we talked to him, because that night was creepy after the first day we talked to him. If you never listened to it, I did an episode over Zozo. But man, that second day we talked to him with that Ouija board, it started flipping to the Z-O, 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 so I closed that out. We quit talking to him. I'm not positive that it was a little boy named George, but he claimed to be, and other people have claimed to talk to him. Another ghost there is the spirit of the old cat. I think the cat died in, like, 1994, but they'll say, like, the cat will get up in your bed, and you can feel it, like, walking on you. And I 100% for sure felt that. Whether or not it was the cat, I don't know, but it felt like a cat walking on me multiple times the second night I was there. I didn't sleep well one night I was there. Lovely place, but around 1-2 in the morning, it was very uncomfortable till about 6 in the morning for me. I would go back, but I was very uncomfortable on that third floor until about 6 in the morning. So I did not sleep well there, but it is a beautiful, beautiful place, and I would recommend it. Another interesting thing that happened was with the SLS camera. We also kept, there was a chair in our room, and we kept getting a person mapped out sitting in the chair. And then, and I know this is like, and even the SLS camera might be like bullshit to some people, but I just think it's interesting. We did, but we also did the little flashlight thing where you tap it, you know, like once for yes, once for no, and like the light, it'll light up. And I know that, you know, it could just be like the connections really touchy, but it, for me, it only worked the one night when we were talking to quote unquote George, but it would touch the light, you know, and light up on its own. And I thought that was pretty neat. But yeah, I would highly recommend the Crescent Hotel. It's not cheap. Or at least I don't think it's cheap. It was like, or at least for the room that I got, it was like three something a night. But I really did enjoy myself. And like I said, it's a really cool little town. Even if you don't like ghost hunting, it's like a really cool little town. And I think in the winter or maybe October, they just do like a night where it's just ghost hunting. Like they don't rent out rooms. You can just go up there and like get a spot and just ghost hunt all night. And I would totally do that. I don't know that I would stay there again, but I would totally do that. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this episode. I said, sorry, I took a couple weeks off, well, almost a month off, but one or two episodes a month like I was doing. And I appreciate everyone that's been listening and following and rating while over the past couple of weeks while I was gone. But hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to put out another episode. I'm going to do an episode over the butterfly people, which I got that idea from Paranormal Hotline. I don't remember what episode that was, but they mentioned it very briefly, and I thought it was very interesting, the butterfly people, and I thought that should be a whole episode. And I don't think they've done it yet, because I stay pretty up to date with their episodes, because I do enjoy them. But Paranormal Hotline, I stole that idea from them, but that'll be the next episode. And I've already got that wrote out. I just need to record it. I just wanted to do this first while it was still kind of fresh on my mind. But like I said, thank you to everyone that's been listening, and I appreciate it. Bye.